In a world, four friends, one mission.
Mikey, what are you doing?
I'm doing the thing for the podcast.
It's not that hard, bud.
Dude, just say the name.
Fine. It's the Freedom Friends Podcast.
Some meaty cheeser boys, man.
Yeah, I don't know.
Jazz has a new band he wants all you listeners to know about.
No, it's from an amazing commercial from like 2004, 2005, something like that. The meaty cheesy boys singing about the ultimate cheeseburger from Jack in the Box.
That's going to be the poll on this video. I want to know how many of our listeners have eaten at Jack in the Box in the last 10 years. I'm genuinely curious how this poll.
A follow on, how many enjoyed it?
Yeah.
2 days ago, and it was amazing.
Jeez. All right. Absolutely. Y'all ready for the debate topic?
Yep.
This actually, what you brought up actually goes along with this.
Guys, it wouldn't be the Freedom Friends if we didn't talk about our number one sponsor, Warfighter Tobacco. Obviously, you guys have seen us all smoke them. We're here to talk about a quality product that everybody can enjoy. The great equalizer, as we've called it, the Warfighter Tobacco Stick. And it's not just cigars. They've got humidors, travel humidors, cutters, lighters, everything you need to get started on that journey. Check out warfightertobacco.com and use that code FTFO. Score yourself that sweet, sweet 15%. If you want to know my personal favorite, I'm a 762 Field guy. I like that Sumatra, real nice and even keeled cigar. Great for us beginner smokers, right? And I'm told that these taste even better when you're listening to the Freedom Friends podcast. Now, back to the show. This episode is brought to you by Grill Your Ass Off. It's no secret, we're all middle-aged dudes who love barbecue. Grill Your Ass Off is our main go-to for our spices. That's what we use, man. Whether you're doing burgers on the grill, steaks, or my personal favorite, a little bit of pork belly burnt ends, right? They've got you covered on all of that. They also have salsas. They also have seasonings and spices. They got beer salts. They've got everything, man. Check them out, grillyourassoff.com/freedomfriendspodcast, or use the code Freedom Friends Podcast at checkout.
What is something to this day from your early adulthood still holds up?
From my early adulthood?
Yeah. So I'm talking like your early 20s-ish. Ooh. 18 to mid-20s-ish.
Still holds up.
That still holds up.
My the 1999 belt. Cinematic masterpiece, The Mummy, with Brendan Fraser.
And Rachel Weisz.
The Mummy was good.
I'm assuming we don't mean like that. I'm assuming some sort of product and or thought. Or
you've been doing this way too long to be asking me about rules.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair.
My marriage.
Oh, hey. Shit.
Hey, Scott's not getting in trouble tonight. Let's go.
Well, let's start with you. You're on the fucking show this week. What the fuck's, what's from your early adulthood that still holds
up? Yeah, from 4 years ago. Yeah. What still holds up?
He just had his birthday. So it's actually, he's like, he's in the downward spiral now. Like, this is late 20s for him. So
that's true.
We're in the downward spiral.
Yeah, that's true. That has nothing to do with my age, sir.
Hot Wheels cars.
That's from you got into that in your early adulthood?
Oh, that's true. I'm thinking like childhood. I don't know. I'm trying to go back.
Well, that holds up from my childhood to your childhood then.
Fucking Hot Wheels cars are always dope.
Yeah, they're always dope.
Like, now there's like this huge collector market that's all over.
Dude, Micro Machines back in my
day. Jesus.
Yeah. Micro Machines and Mighty Max.
I don't know Mighty Max.
It was the men's Polly Pocket.
Still not following.
Okay. But yeah, Micro Machines. But I follow a lot of collectible stuff on social media because it's kind of my living. So I cannot believe the community that's out there for Hot Wheels collectibles.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've seen videos of dudes that are showing up at Walmart at like fucking 6 a.m.
Because they know when
through.
The stock is happening still? And stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Like new ones are collectible?
Yeah.
Well, but these dudes aren't like collecting them. They're getting them so they can go like resell and stuff like that. That's the video.
It surprises me that ones that are still in production
are still collectible. It'll be things like, so it's weird with their distro, right? So like a pallet of Hot Wheels will show up. And so it's all like the standard stuff. And then in it, it'll be like there's one per pallet load of that car, and then there's 24 variants of that car that have been made that got distroed. Huh. And all, it's like this crazy tier structure of like how it all works. And they all know it, and they like they'll explain like the placard card behind it. You're looking for like this marker and this marker for that.
Oh, wow.
It's so big that you can still go to like a Michaels,
yeah,
and get the ready-made yeah. Hot Wheels display boards to huh. hang in your house. And
I only collected, well, when I was a child, I liked all fucking cars, right?
Yeah.
But I like going into young adulthood, I only collected the cars that were equal to what I owned, or you know what I mean? Like
the only oh, yeah. Hot Wheels I went out of my way to go get, you probably remember when I went and got them, is they did a limited run, and they did four cars for one of each of the Beatles from the Yellow Submarine.
I do remember.
Oh, yeah.
And they made a car for each Beatle. Huh. But I'm a huge Beatles fan. Yeah. So, but I went and I literally went and hunted those down so that I could get all fucking four of them. But something that from my young adulthood that's old. Our young adulthood was just so fucking weird, though. Like,
well, I went from high school changed. To active duty, so.
I think it just means age-wise.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So, like, something that you, like, 18, 19, 20, that to this day still, like.
That I'm still into, or that
that just holds up. That's just like, you know what? I found this at 19 or 20, and goddamn it still works. It's not your dick.
Well, I found that a little earlier.
It was well used by then.
Fuck, man. That's what's so hard about like, like even like everybody at this table, our age bracket versus like Justin's age bracket.
Yeah.
Is that fuck me. Everything changed so fucking much. Like,
well, yeah. Like look at technology in 1998 and look at technology in 2008. And the vast difference between the two. It's like fucking Jesus.
Look at just what happened in the 90s.
Yeah.
Like just the shit we saw change just in the 90s from like 90 to 99, just that decade.
Yeah.
The shit we saw change was just like.
And then again in 2003, everything changed. Like TSA and.
Yeah. 01.
But yeah. Yeah.
You remember when you would just walk on a fucking airplane?
You know what's funny?
It's like you didn't have to have a shit x-rayed.
So that sounds so
funny. I remember taking a flight as a child and my mother walked me to the fucking airplane.
So my parents divorced.
You used to meet people at the airport that you were picking up.
Yep.
At the gate.
Yeah.
Like,
so my parents divorced when I was two. And so when I would visit, I flew.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And literally one parent would walk me and put me on the plane.
Yeah.
And then I'd get on the plane and they'd give my little plastic fucking flight wings.
Yeah. Yep.
And I'd be looked after by a stewardess. And then I'd get off the plane. And when I walked off the jetway, the other parent would collect me.
Yeah.
Well, shit, 9/11 happened.
You can still do that as a parent. As a parent, you can prove that you're dropping your minor child off and walk them to the gate.
To give you an idea, back in the day, you could literally like just decide that your favorite bar was in the airport. And just drive to the airport and just go walk to that bar. It, like, it was wild. Like, 40 days after 9/11 happened, I was flying to Texas to go goose hunting with my grandfather. And I went with my dad. And we flew from Pittsburgh to San Antonio to go goose hunting with my father and with my grandfather and Katie.
Yeah.
This was, like, 40 days after. I mean, it was supposed to be a Thanksgiving hunt.
Right.
So 9/11 happened. Literally a month later, I flew down. And they still hadn't gotten everything squared away.
Right.
So we got to the airport, and there was like National Guard dudes with rifles. And then there was us with gun cases with guns in them. And we went in and just like showed our ID, and they checked our guns. And we got off the plane and fucking left and flew. And that's still like a...
Well, you can still fly with guns.
Right. But I'm talking like there wasn't any of the shit now.
Yeah.
There wasn't, they didn't check things. Like my shit didn't get inspected.
Yeah.
Like it wasn't.
Yeah.
There was, I didn't get.
Nobody had to look at it.
There, all of these airports.
Verify that your suppressor's unloaded.
Yeah.
I used to manufacture and sell suppressors. I'd fly with just suppressors. You have to treat it like a firearm and check it. Right. Open the case one time and the TSA person's like, is it unloaded? I picked it up, looked through it, and I'm like, yep.
To give you an idea, Justin, what was the last commercial aircraft you got on that had ashtrays?
Oh, yeah.
Never.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I guarantee everybody else at this table has memories of getting on an airplane and in the arm was the little chrome flip fucking door that was a cigarette ashtray on the aircraft.
Yes.
That's wild.
They some of them still have the cutout, but it's not there anymore.
That's why when you're on there and you look up and there's those lights that say fasten seatbelt and there's the cigarette symbol with a light with the bar through it. So it used to be when you got to a certain altitude.
Yeah, it was like
your smoking light turned off and half the aircraft lit up.
I wish I could fucking witness that just once. Just the glow from all the lighters.
You can still smoke on like private airplanes though.
That's because it's private.
Yeah.
I have something I should actually bring to show you just because you're in the industry and you'd appreciate it. I have an airline. So back when the airlines would give out drinks and all that kind of stuff, there was also a cigar and cigarette girl that would walk around and would you could buy cigars and cigarettes on the aircraft.
Holy shit.
And I have one of the original leather pouches that held 5 cigarillos that was an aircraft only. It was an airline exclusive 5-pack of cigars.
Nice.
That they would sell you on the aircraft. And I have the pouch that's
fucking came awesome.
In. It's such a cool piece of cigar history. I need to bring it in so you can see it. It's fucking wild. And I could literally take like, your Minutemen are a little too big, but any of the ones that now come in tins, you could take 5 of them and just stack them in there in this leather fucking.
Imagine how much more enjoyable a flight would be if you could have a cigar. Holy fuck. Holy fuck.
Would you be able to smoke in the airport?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
That would make traveling so much better.
If you went to you still go to some of the older airports
Updated, you can still smoke cigars in the airport.
In the airport, really?
There's one little room that you have to sit at a slot machine.
Oh.
And you can smoke a fucking cigar.
There's some others. Charlotte.
Yeah.
Charlotte International. Once you're in the terminal, they have a smoking room.
Right.
They also have a set of doors that opens up to an outdoor.
Oh.
Like an outdoor patio.
God, where was I not?
And it's incredible. So you're all checked in, you're getting ready to flight, and you can just walk outside and like sit in a lounge chair.
I think I was in Atlanta one time, and there was a bar in the airport you could smoke in.
Yes.
Yeah,
because I got drunk in that motherfucker on the way home from Oregon one year.
I fucking hate airport smoking lounges.
That was the
This was like a legit like
the bar.
It was a bar and a restaurant. Might have just been a bar.
That's the one I was actually coming home.
But it's way out of the way.
I was coming home and we landed in Atlanta. Yeah. That was the crossover for all of us to break.
Yeah.
And there was this like 13-hour delay in Atlanta.
Yeah.
And so we landed. And it was me, an Air Force tech sergeant, and another Air Force something. But me and the tech sergeant hit it off. We got seated next to each other. And we're in uniform because we're coming home.
Yeah.
So it was like a 13-hour delay. And the airline came over and was like, hey, there's a 13-hour delay. But because it's not – the timing wasn't right, so they weren't going to give us
a voucher,
a hotel voucher. Yeah.
And they're like, so we're going to give you these instead. And they gave me and the tech sergeant $400 in vouchers that were good for anywhere in the airport, but we're in uniform. And it was like, okay. So we were like, we're going to go hit this fucking bar. Yeah. Like we're here for 13 hours and they'd been boozing us the whole time we were flying. Yeah. Like the flight crew was just, because we were coming home. So, and we got delayed.
Not my experience coming home.
So they just gave us drinks the whole time we were flying. So we landed, we were like, what are we doing? We're like, we're going to go hit this bar. So we show up and we have all these fucking vouchers. Well, and this is in like the height of everything. So everybody's very pro fucking anybody in military.
Right.
So we paid for fucking nothing anyways. We had all this fucking money to these. And so we're just like, fuck, another round for everybody. And I'm like, it's the only time I've ever been like, drinks all around. And it's like, it made the airline pay for it. And that was in fucking Atlanta, but you could smoke in that one.
Yeah.
And I remember because I was coming home and I had a box of Romeo and Julieta Habana Reserve.
Right.
And I had a box of them and we smoked that whole fucking box that night. Like the whole box of fucking cigars. So whatever that bar is, I don't remember, can't remember what it's called.
I can't remember either,
But I have done damage in that fucking bar.
No, when we flew home, we flew as a battalion from Iraq to, say, Turkey or Germany. And then we flew right to Fort Campbell. And we landed on Fort Campbell and got off as a battalion. So there was no fucking drinking the whole time on the way home. Yeah.
Yeah. Delta did not give a shit. And that's why I still love Delta to this day. If I can fly Delta, I will. I hate your prices, Delta. Jesus. But fuck, they are the best. They are. Unless I'm flying international. If I'm flying international, has anything to do with Delta, I'm on Delta.
Yeah.
Because Delta and Air France, like they fly, Delta will fly with Emirates and like, and if you're going to fly international, there's only a couple of people that you want to fly with because the flight is just, you're on a plane for fucking 11 hours. Yeah. Like, don't scrimp on that shit.
But what holds up from my young adulthood?
It's not flying.
No.
The 737 I flew back from Jacksonville on still had a ashtray in the door on the head.
Oh, not, yeah.
It's just like,
that's
look
at
that.
That's a temptation. Is what
it absolutely, I flipped that motherfucker open. I looked.
Yeah.
I was just like, oh it's empty.
Yeah.
What holds up from my young adulthood to now? Gillette Mach 3 razors.
Wow.
I mean, still solid,
but it's still an awesome fucking razor.
Yeah. Fuck, booze has changed for me.
God, that's
a hard one.
I mean, you're literally asking like, hey.
Because like during that time.
That person you used to be.
Yeah.
What do you still do from that person? And I'm like,
I went from anymore. In like, that time period, I went from no internet to internet. I went from no cell phones to cell phones.
Yeah.
Like.
And you don't even mean cell phones. You literally mean the world's cumulative knowledge in your pocket.
Yeah. Yeah.
And before that, it was like.
But how do you cell phones.
How did you get a hold of each other? And it was like, I called his phone. So I had a phone in my house and I called the phone that was in his house.
Yeah.
And if he didn't answer it, he either didn't want to or he wasn't fucking there.
Or he had a magic box that had a tiny little cassette.
Yeah.
And I would go like, hey, Scott. We're going here tonight. Be cool if we saw you.
Yeah. If you get this.
Yeah. If you get it. And then he gets it the next morning and goes like,
fuck.
Oh, fuck. Yeah. Like,
you know, what cracked me up is the new iOS update that made it to where when someone leaves you a message, you can see like it'll translate it to text message and like put it on your phone. And I'm like, so it's just a fucking voicemail. Dude, like, wasn't that a thing? Like,
how fucking behind is your update? It's been doing that for a minute.
Has it been?
Yeah.
Yeah, dude.
Fuck it.
Yeah. It transcribes. It's been transcribing.
It's been transcribing voicemails.
I mean, like live. Like you call me right now. I don't.
Do you know what tripped me out on the most recent update?
Transcribing.
Is that it will ring and then you can watch it. It'll say like calling. And then the thing underneath it goes voicemail. And you can still answer it if they're in the voicemail and still take the call.
I like that.
And I was like, what the fuck? If I'm ignoring them during the regular call, I'm sure as fuck still ignoring them while they're leaving me a voicemail. Like, I don't give a fuck.
You know, that's the funny one is like when cell phones first came out and we got personalizable ringtones and
I miss that.
We spent time like assigning ringtones to everybody and now everything is on silent.
Do you know what I miss?
I haven't cared in 10 years about my ringtone.
I miss being able to let you listen to a song. While you're calling me.
The ring back?
I miss
motherfucker.
That. Yeah. I miss that like if Dave called me and I couldn't answer the phone, that he got to listen to Nickelback while he was waiting for me to send him to voicemail. Like that. Yeah. That's
gotta still be a thing, huh?
No.
I haven't seen.
That shit was awesome.
Yeah.
Especially with some of the music that's coming out nowadays. you could give someone a hearty chuckle.
Yeah.
I don't know. Not with the shit I listen to. People are like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah, but that would give you a hearty chuckle.
It would. Just let you fucking have to listen to Lorna Shore while you're waiting for my voicemail to kick on. Just be like, I understood nothing of what that man was saying.
I don't know. A lot has changed.
Apparently nothing from our young adulthood is held up.
I mean, I'm struggling too. What? Like some movies. Like that's all I got. Like, I can't say there's anything that I did 25 years ago that I'm still doing.
Yeah.
Which either says that I'm either.
Well, and there's nothing that's stuck with us that's like really stood the test of time as far as
things to do or.
I think that's.
Well, things to do or even just items.
I
like,
think that's
you know,
healthy though.
Like, I was going to say, like, shooting, but.
Yeah. That's all gotten better though.
It's gotten better. There's a lot of cool technology now.
Yeah.
It's one thing I actually appreciate about you in shooting is that like you have an admiration for the history of it.
Yeah.
But you have never been one of those ones that's like, nope, this was pinnacle. This was, it doesn't get better than this.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like as the industry progresses, you've been like, nope, that's better.
Yeah.
Like
it's better.
We shouldn't do like, it. This is the like, way. It's not good.
I have some guns with wood stocks. Because nobody makes a synthetic stock for, say, a fucking M1 Grand. Well, they might. Yeah, I think they probably do.
They do for the Grand.
Yeah. But
like, you're Hakeem? You're not finding a fucking stock.
Like, I have two in wood stocks and only because...
But like on a bolt action?
I'm
not going to...
I have two in wood stocks and only because they're, like, original.
Well, and that's like my Argentine.
Well, that and they don't make... a synthetic stock for the 1892 Royal Enfield that I have. Yeah. Like that's the stock you're keeping.
Yeah. Like if I have a 1903, I'm not going to modernize it.
Well, like I have a Korean non-issue SKS and it's a Korean War era. Yeah. Like it just didn't go to combat SKS.
Yeah.
Like if you open up the OD green fucking sling that's on it, it still has the serial number in it in Korean. It's like, I'm not swapping this. Yeah. Like this just gets to stay like this. I thought about it though. I 100% thought about just, I was like, it's two screws.
But if I'm building a rifle today, it's not going to have anything wood on it.
Well, yeah. You know, I mean, and that's my Argentine is the same thing.
Yeah.
You know, that thing's been in my family for, I want to say 75, 80 years.
Yeah.
Yeah. Why would you change that?
Yeah.
Well, yeah. I mean, there are companies that do, I think Boyd's has has an application for it, but it's a 90% fit.
Yeah.
So it's, you still finish it yourself because of the variances
and
everything. Yeah.
Speaking of which, next time you see him, it's not my story to tell, so I won't. But next time you see Steve Dixon, you need to ask him, say, Jazz said that you have some weapons in storage that I should ask about.
Okay.
Like in storage of the point to where he has an elongated, he has a safety deposit locker at a bank that is holding those.
Nice.
Because he won't keep them in his house because his insurance company won't cover him.
Wow. All
right.
So you need to ask him about those. Like, Steve's got some wild shit.
Nice.
But yeah, I mean, I was just talking to somebody about stocks on a gun and they were like, well, it doesn't need to have an adjustable length of pull. The fixed M16 stock fit me just fine. And I'm like, that's not how that works. And this isn't the same platform.
Is it usable? Yes. Could it be better?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what technology and innovation means.
I think that's just healthy though. The fact that I think looking back at like 20, 25 years ago, and it's like, I don't have anything that I'm still holding on to from that era that I think just is better.
No, it's like,
that means I'm willing to embrace the change that's happening and stuff.
There are things from that time frame that I appreciate.
Yeah.
But there are not things from that time frame.
You know what's actually held up?
What's up?
Looking at it now. So I started smoking cigars when I was 16.
Oh, there you go.
That's when I got in. 16 years old. First cigar I ever had, I actually remember it, was the Romeo Julieta Delacroix Artisan Series. You can still look this up. They came in a limited edition humidor. Had art on the top. It was a 10-count box in two O's. That was the first cigar I ever had, and I was hooked. That was it. That was all I wanted to do was smoke cigars. That's something I got into in my young adulthood, and I can honestly say, sure, there's new blends, there's new brands, there's everybody's little stamp on it or whatever, but at the end of the day, it's... You know, Sevilla, Spain was the first time that we ever saw the wrapper binder filler structure of a cigar as we know it today. That happened in the late 1600s.
Yeah.
It hasn't really fucking changed.
Well, I think the cigar processes have changed and gotten better.
Aging processes are better. Quality control is certainly better. But I can honestly say, since I got into it, my young adult to now, there hasn't been any real revolutions in the cigar industry. It's definitely held. It still functions. And I've said this before. The reason I love cigars is the great equalizer.
Yeah.
You're worth millions and I'm worth minimum wage.
Do you think it was like that, like back in Churchill's days?
No, because I think that was, you didn't even have the ability to get in the same room.
I'm not saying Churchill system. Himself, but.
No, but I still, it was this very classist kind of thing. The advent of the local cigar shop, the small cigar shop, I think is really what opened that door.
But I think even.
And then they tried to classic.
Well,
if you want to go in that room.
Even poor people back then had the ability to smoke cigars.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think there was such a price divergent as there is today.
There wasn't, but there wasn't the public meeting place for cigars. I think the local humidor, which has been the last 100 years, really, if you really look at it, even the oldest ones in America are.
Well, I think most of them are probably hardware stores.
Yeah. Well, you have a couple out on the East Coast, Draper's, there's one just north of Maryland or just north of DC in Maryland that I think just celebrated 110 years, 115 years. And some of their cabinets are original. So there's a few that are the exception to the rule, but by a few, I mean less than the amount of fingers I have few. But for the most part, your local cigar shop that had a lounge, the ability to go hang out at it. This is something that's, the last 30, 40 years kind of.
Well, it was probably before that. It was probably any bar or pub or whatever. And most people probably bought their cigars the same place they bought their groceries
But for a long time, cigars, even pop culture wise, the definition of cigars, it was the fat cats in the back room making plans and that's how they had cigars, or they were celebratory. You had a baby, you had a wedding, you had a whatever.
Yeah.
The idea of I don't go to a bar, I go to my cigar lounge.
Right.
And that's where I hang out, stuff like that. That was definitely a huge part of my young adulthood and it still holds up. Now I've just gotten to the point where I don't want to be around a bunch of people. So I tend to smoke either, in the back of your place, or I smoke at my house, or it's like, I want to be around the three or four people that I wanted, but they still do that. I smoked a cigar behind my store today and I didn't have a lighter for some fucking reason.
Yeah.
And they're doing some construction on what used to be the Macy's at the end of my mall.
Yeah.
Is not going to be a Family Leisure. And I didn't have a lighter. And there was all this construction crew out there. And I walked over and was like, hey, anybody got a lighter? And the guy was like, you smoking a cigar? He's like, what are you smoking? Happened to get a Warfighter. And I was like, this is where you can go. And he's like, yeah, man. For another cigar smoker, no problem. He broke out his cigar lighter and lit my shit. And was good to go. And that's, I think, and that's what I've always liked about cigars is that it has removed so many walls because it was just, it wasn't, it was nothing other than we just both enjoy a cigar and that was enough. So that's held up.
But you look at like music, right? You went from the record to the 8-track, to the tape, to the CD, to the MP3. Now it's just streaming.
Back to the record. Now everybody's buying vinyl again. Yeah. That's the whole thing now. So yeah, I don't know. I guess for me personally, I feel like I've always been so willing to adopt and change with whatever the new thing that's happening is.
Yeah.
Which, to be fair, 99% of the time is always a better version.
Yeah.
Because the stuff that holds on, the stuff that's like really good, like my cookware, they don't really change. So my pots and pans, the company that makes my pots and pans hasn't changed their shit in forever.
Yeah.
And it's because it's kind of one of those, like, we make the best. We don't need to change this. So you don't iterate on something that's as good as it gets.
Yeah.
But everything else that I use, something better could come along. And so you find those iterations of an improvement. And so I've always been willing to embrace the improvement.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, you're not at home in the morning, you know, sprit.
Yeah.
You know, you're here pushing buttons and making
shit. Yeah. My espresso machine is better than the espresso machine I had before that.
Yes.
Because something better came along.
Yeah.
I mean, shit, even that with my cigar lighters and shit like that. And it's like better shit has come along. Yeah. The cigar itself is still very much just a cigar, but yeah, I feel like I've always been pretty good about it. So yeah, I don't have a lot.
Yeah. It's hard. That's a hard one.
Yeah. I think my biggest thing is I just don't remember much from that timeline. I mean, it was between TBI and, everything else. It's like there's a big chunk that's not there. I mean, like I said, there's things that I can appreciate, like the fact that a 96 Mustang aesthetically still holds up today.
Yeah.
Especially one that's clean and well-maintained, like a nice Celine or a Cobra or something like that. You know, those, but that's not, to me, that's not holding up. That's holding its ability, but it's not holding up.
Well, like you said, you can appreciate it. It still looks good.
Yes.
But if you compare it to the newest one, it's.
Yeah.
The newest one's light years ahead.
Yeah. You know, you stack it up against a 2023 with a Coyote or something like that. It's, you know, right off the line. I mean, even a really nicely laid out Cobra in 96 or 98 would get dusted by some of the shit that's out there today.
Oh, but by some of the family shit or the economical cars. Yeah.
Yeah.
There's some hybrids that would
look at your fucking 2024 Honda Civics.
Yeah.
And see what those things can put down.
Well, there's not a thing from our high school days that, regardless of what we drove, that if you went up against like
the number two pencil,
the
number two pencil has held up.
There you go. But like any of these plaid edition Teslas.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like, look, technology changes. Everything changes. Everything's better. But yeah, there's some stuff. The number two.
The Golf T.
That's
actually a lot.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
There you go.
They have like plastic ones now. Those are my favorite.
Yeah.
I don't fuck those up so bad.
Yeah.
I'll show you what to buy.
Deal.
The plastic. I went to the plastic one. I tried those brush tees for a while.
Did you really?
Yeah. Had those. I'll show you what to get. And it's actually not about what they're made out of. It's about the consistency of the height. And that's actually what you're. Because if you don't have a way to measure the consistency of the height.
Yeah.
Then you're constantly teeing off with a different height ball.
Yeah.
And that'll fuck you up.
That's fair.
Yeah. I mean, like golf courses haven't changed much, but all the tech around it has.
Yeah. Oh,
yeah.
Well, it's like you were just talking about that last week with the top tracker, you know,
that top tracer is fucking
able,
dope.
Yeah, top tracer, like being able to look on your phone and watch and be like, oh, that's where it is.
Do you know what sucks about the top tracer though? Is it so good that you realize how bad you are? Like you're just like, oh God, no, this is like, you hit a shot and you're like, oh, that felt pure. And then you look at it and you're like, well, fuck you, top tracer. Like that,
I had
way to remind me how bad I am.
I played a round of golf this weekend with my brother-in-law's and I hit a drive that I thought I got all of it. And even they were like, fucking that'll work out a boy. And then it hit the ground and that thing went like 125 yards. Like it was we were all stoked. And then it hit the ground and everybody was quiet because even they were like, oh yeah, that's not good. I was like, fuck. Like that was,
it's always nice when they leave the tee and they're super high, but then you have to remind yourself that if it goes straight up, comes straight down.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's nothing for me.
Yeah. What are we going to talk about? How awesome nu metal was?
Yeah.
Like,
that's the thing. It's like, what was old is new again. Like, I was heading back to my car Saturday from the air show and I saw a dude in JNCO jeans.
Yeah, I saw three of them in my mall.
Yeah. Huh. It's just like, wow, I had a pair of those in 1998.
We're all at the age now that you can look back and think about when your parents are going like, what the fuck are you doing? You're like, you just don't understand. It's like, no, we do. We did that 20 years ago.
Yeah. They fucking bell bottoms.
Yeah. Everything runs on a cycle.
Yeah.
Well.
Yeah.
Shit.
Yep. Let's wrap this.
Ching.
Cheers. I don't think we solved a fucking thing today.
Nope.
We did not.
We don't do that anyway. Okay. So I
think what we solved is don't get stuck
in
what the fuck you thought was awesome when you knew fucking nothing.
There we go.
You knew you know more now. It's okay to now change your opinion.
Bingo. Who wants to sign it off?
As Kevin Smith wrote, it is far better to have ideas than beliefs because you can change an idea. People fight and die over beliefs.
Yeah.
Well, that's a good one.
Mm-hmm.
He also wrote that all the big money's in dick and fart jokes.
It's also a good one.
See? Now you know why he was my favorite filmmaker.
We have a lot of dick fart jokes in here, and I haven't seen any big money, though.
It got me a really nice suspension for my motorcycle.
Oh, there you go. There you go. The one time it paid out?
Yeah.
So far.
But that Olin suspension that's on the back of my bike, that shit is fucking sweet. I've essentially got super bike suspension on the back of a Harley.
Nice. All right, let's go home.
Oh, fuck.
Anyway, go find the sponsors. Spend some money over there. And in the meantime, there's three little things that we encourage you to go fucking do other than go change your opinion about something because it's probably not as good as you think it is. And that first one, Davey.
Oh, smoke on.
Scotty.
Drink on.
God damn it, boys.
Freedom the fuck on.
See you guys next
time. Toodles.